Father God, we thank you that your word is blessed, and your Logos word will never change. It's not shifting sand, it's rock solid. So we ask you to plant our very lives upon it, God. We ask you to put your word in us, God, but we also ask you for a rhema word, a word for our lives, a word we can apply to some circumstance or situation, some trial and some tedious place in our life, God. We ask you to speak a word of prophecy over us. We ask you to make sense of confusion, God. Your word says that you're not the author of confusion, and there's just so much confusion in this world, so many lies coming in so many different directions and so fast and furious. God, for those of us that are here that are living with regret, Lord, I ask you, let your word be the fog lifter, the confusion chaser, the peace giver. Shine light in all our dark places with your word today. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Verse 1, chapter 3, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Please give me your attention. I have been going to church since 1993. I started attending Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale. And for many, many, many years, I sat where you sat. I sat in the same church before we started this church, more than 12 years. And I listened to message after message after message after message after message. And every day that I went to church, I hoped to have the heart that said, feed me something. Give me something that I could, that'll change my life. As we've talked about a lot over the last couple months, there is the Logos Word of God, the Word that you read every day that is unchanging, that you, the world, the foundations thereof are built upon, but there is also the Rhema Word, the Word that, man, you know, you've been praying about something and boom, there it is. It's a confirmation. You got some situation in your life, boom, there's the Word that sets you on fire for it. That's that Rhema Word. Many times over the years, I've heard Pastor Bob tell the same story. Many times over the years, I've heard Ken Graves tell the same story. Many times over the years, I've heard Chuck Smith tell the same story. I've heard him teach certain scriptures so many times. Now, I heard that before, heard that before. And when I was growing up in the church, I had met men who thought to go to church meant, well, they already studied that book or they already heard that story, already saw that message or whatever. So generally, they'd hang out in the foyer, the fellowship hall. And somebody would say, hey, man, how come you're not in church? Oh, man, I've heard all of his stories. I've literally heard people say that to me. Oh, I've heard all of his stories. Oh, I knew this. I knew this. I studied this book. And you're like, are you crazy? You got an opportunity to receive the Word of God with a man who is, I mean, I don't know if you understand, and it's a shame that that's just the way of the world, you know, you wipe everything away, but in the mid-90s, in the early 2000s, when Pastor Bob was given the Word, man, it was like fire. People were getting saved by the hundreds a week, the hundreds. What a time it was to grow up. What a time to be a young Christian in the Lord. And I pity you if you've not seen that. It was truly the South Florida revival. No question about it. No question about it. And when I read this passage that I just read to you, it reminds me, and hopefully it reminds you, it don't matter if you heard all the stories already. You see, for me to tell you a same joke or the same story or say, when you see that therefore, you must ask yourself, what's that therefore? Or a parable, it's a window that becomes a mirror. And I've heard him say that. He said, for me to say that to you, it's not tedious. And you know what? For you, it's safe. How many times do you want me to say it? I'm sorry, I'm your pastor, but I am not perfect, I am not plastic, and I am not pathetic, and I ain't never going to be. I'd rather not do this thing if that's what's going to happen to me. If I ever have to do this for a living, just let's end this thing now. If I ever have to come up here and make you feel good so you'll come back next week, let's just scoot this thing out. Like that song, you know, yank the pube, throw it on fire, and if that's what it takes. Worship is more than a song. This is a worship service. And here the Apostle Paul should be laying out every single pastor, every single parishioner. He's like, listen, yeah, I know you heard this already, but guess what? It's okay if you heard it already. It's safe to hear it again. You got to get this message. You got to get this message. Remember Pastor Bob used to always, when he used to talk about salvation, his voice used to get really high. I'd be like, holy crap, this guy's going to blow out my eardrum with that girl voice. And then one day he said, does that get in your brain when I talk that high and talk about salvation? He said, I do it on purpose. Because I'd rather you hear that voice in your head all the time. You need Christ, you need Christ, you need Christ. Than not accept him. Go away thinking you're okay with God. As a side note, I don't know what happened to that dude. Somewhere in the mid-2010s. I have no idea, but needless to say, there was a time that dude would pour that word out, man, and you just, it was like popcorn in a pan. It's like pop, 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 pop. He'd have a worship. He'd have an altar call, and people would come down the aisle. There'd be hundreds of people getting saved. I got saved. Man, I want the word to be fire like that. Now, there's a difference between preaching and teaching, and I'm more of a teacher than a preacher. But boy, oh boy, just to hear the Apostle Paul say this. For me, to preach again the same thing, it's not tedious. I don't mind even a little. I don't mind telling the same story. If there's one person that's got to connect with it, one story, one teaching, I'm cool with it. And for you, don't get bored, don't get frustrated, it's safe. It's safe. I love when I see saints like my mother and father-in-law. They've been going to church for 40 years or more. And they come up and say, that's a good message, or hey, thanks. Praise God, you know, I forget, yeah, sorry, God, that was your word. Every pastor does that, though. When somebody says, hey, man, that was good, you know, thank you. Just thank him. Just forget about me. Someday, hopefully, you all know that feeling. This ain't an easy task. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord, for to me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Now, the reason he said that is because beware of dogs. Number one on the hit list, beware of dogs. What's a dog? Well, that's a good question. The other two things he wants us to know about is important, but beware of dogs. If you will keep your place here real quick, turn to the best description of what he is referring to, the Lord Jesus speaking of dogs in Matthew chapter 7. Now, why is it important? Because many times in Scripture, dogs are not a bad thing. A lot of times it's the little dogs, it's the puppies that eat the crumbs off the table and they sit at your feet and they lick your sores and they do all kinds of cool things for their masters. That's not this word. This is more aptly translated wild dog. Now, Ken Graves, when I first started this church, he said, Ryan, I want you to understand something. Ministry is not difficult. It's simple. It's barnyard principles, if you will. There's sheep. There's goats. There's pigs, and there's dogs. Your job is to figure out who's who.
And how do I do that?
I don't know. Figure it out.
Ah, got it. Here, the Lord Jesus, in verse 6 of chapter 7 of the book of Matthew, says, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, pigs. So, speaking of pig dogs, he says, what is the sign of a pig dog? very next, he says, they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. The sign of a pig, the sign of a dog, the sign of a pig dog is somebody who tramples your pearls and then turns at you and tears at you. When you tell them about the love of God or the service or your love for your church, they rip you apart. They trample the pearls that you give them, and then they want to tell you how horrible you are. You. Any of you guys doing anything for Memorial Day, possibly, and you're maybe going to eat with your family, and maybe you ask to pray before the meal or something like that, and oh my goodness, the comments that you'll get! Just to thank God for a meal? Really? Now, if you were brought up in a Christian home, the vast majority have no idea what I'm talking about. You're like, what are you talking about? That's never happened in my house. Watch this. How many of you guys get together with your unsaved family and all they do the whole time is give you crap about your faith? Hands? Look around. How many of you guys have actually tried to pray with your unsaved family and they act as though, I don't know, you tried to steal their car? Anybody? Hands? So again, not the only one. I know. That's what I go through. Oh, you need a crutch. And then the rest of the night's ruined, of course, because all they want to do is turn and tear. Turn and tear. Back, please, to Philippians 3. Beware of dogs. Be careful that you don't make a dog your pet. This wild dog in your life, get rid of him. I don't know about you guys, but let me tell you a little bit. My wife's not here. Good. I have a dog problem. My wife does not have a dog problem. Dog pees on the floor, like, big deal. Just clean it up. What do I care? Just clean it up. That's what mops are for. That's what paper towels are for. A dog pees on the floor in my house, she immediately wants to get rid of it. Oh, no, not my floor. I mean, you cannot. A dog does, like, eats a couch. Like, big deal, it's a couch. What's more important, a dog or a couch? You don't get rid of a dog just because it ate your couch. You clean it up and you save money to buy a new one. You understand what I'm saying here? Sometimes you got to get rid of the wild dogs. I'm going to admit that right now because she's not here. Sometimes you got somebody in your life and you got to say, you know what? That person might be a pig. Shh, 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 shh. Hi, honey. Nothing's going on. Paul said, be careful of the dogs. Wild dogs wreck your life, man. They pull you down. They want you back. They think it's strange that you don't run with them in the same flood of dissipation. They think it's crazy that you would turn your back on the crew, on the boys, on the girls, on the sisters. They think it's stupid that you can't go out on Saturday night just because you have to go to church on Sunday. That's stupid. What happened to you? What happened? You used to be one of us. You used to be my dog. You're the dog. It's time to get rid of the wild dogs in your life, Paul says. You know what the wild dogs do according to the Old Testament? They eat dead carcass. Everything. They lick the blood. They eat the flesh. Every reference. And there's some 35 references to dogs in the Old Testament. And every one of them refers to this savage wolf who comes along after the mess is there and doesn't help clean up except to nourish himself, to eat up what's left of you. You follow me? The Apostle Paul, and I hope somebody's listening, says, beware of the dogs.
He said it in so many different ways. Bad company corrupts good morals. Don't hang out with... You understand? He's saying it again and again. I already heard this message. You're going to hear it again. Why do I got to hear it again? Because you didn't listen the last 18 times you heard it. Beware of the dogs, man. Well, how do I know who's a dog? I just told you. They trample your pearls and they turn and they tear at you when you give them your wisdom. Don't give what is holy to the dogs. And for you sisters that are here, you are holy. And your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and it's precious, and it's a valuable treasure. Don't give what is holy to the dogs. Beware of evil workers. The word for evil there, it means retractor, receding, retire, or better put, cowards. Cowards. Beware of dogs and beware of cowards. Evil workers. People who walk around fearful of everything, who don't have honor and don't understand that you live a life separate. That when somebody does you wrong, you talk to them about it. You don't just trash them behind your back. Beware of people who don't do what God suggests you do with your life. They want to tell you, here's what you should do. Get yourself some strange. Here's what you should do. Jump back in the saddle. Here's what you should do. Beware of bad counsel, the Apostle Paul is saying. Evil workers, retreaters, receders. Beware, the Apostle Paul said, of dogs, of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. The mutilation. Let me explain to you what it was. You had Jews in that day that told Christians, if you did not circumcise yourself, you cannot be saved. Now, it is really not applicable to us, but let me explain that and then apply it. That was what's called a Judaizer in those days. Judaizers said, in order to be a Christian, you must be a Jew. This might be weird for some of you guys, but you understand this, that in order to be a Christian back then, you almost certainly were a Jew, because we worship the Jewish God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And growing up from a Catholic background and from a Catholic neighborhood, we didn't like Jews. We couldn't stand Jews. Now, some of you guys might be saying, what are you talking about? Your mother's Jewish. I know, and my father couldn't stand my mother half the time. It was hilarious. It made no sense. It was ridiculous. We used to have an Italian saying called Mazza di Cristo. We used to say Mazza di Cristo. He's a Jew. Killer of Christ. Like, you stupid idiot. Where did you get that from? I'll tell you where you got that from. The evil of your heart. The wickedness of the devil. Beware of the mutilation. When somebody tells you that you first have to do something to be a Christian, I want you to know that's the application here. So just like the Apostle Paul was saying, listen to me. Cutting a piece of your flesh does not make you a Christian. Don't do that. Now, for some of us not right now, you're like, what are you talking about? Parents, explain circumcision to your children at home. I don't want to go into a lesson. Although, Steve, did you bring those slides? Yeah, Steve's got some... For we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit. Here's what he's saying to them now. He's saying, listen to me. The kingdom of heaven does not come in external visual. It is a change of the heart. It's not going to church. It's not wearing a Christian t-shirt. It's not putting a fish on the back of your car or a dove. It's what God does in the heart. You see, and I've always believed this, and I've always said this, when you change on the outside too fast, you're never going to get to the inside. But if you let God change the inside, by the time it reaches the outside, the work is complete. It's good. It's ready. And that's what happens with big churches. That's what happened at my old church. We looked and we said, oh, who should we act like? Who should we act like? I know. I'll act like that guy. It was really weird for a while. There was like dozens of people walking around our church dressing like Pastor Bob. Got the same glasses as Pastor Bob. Talking like Pastor. I'm telling you, it was weird. And here comes Ryan, and I used to wear sleeveless shirts all the time, and I used to go into church like this, you know, and be like, stay away from that guy, he's a weirdo. And I can remember the handful of guys who weren't intimidated by my presence, who weren't intimidated by my speech and my talk, who would walk up to me, put their hand on my back, and I'd be like, man, what are you, touch me, man. I didn't come here to be touched, man, relax, you're in church now, here. And we used to, instead, they used to not have the words on the screen. They used to give out these weekly song sheets. Connection, the Calvary Connection. And I remember Billy Huff, Dwayne Barnard. I remember these guys. And they'd walk up to me and, hey, man, it's good to see you again. I'm like, man, you don't even know me. Get out my face, man.
You recognize me? He told me, welcome.
I ain't crying. I got something in my eye. It's that bad, guys. Don't ever forget what it's like to be a young Christian. But if you let the work go on in the inside, beware of the mutilation. Beware of those who play Christianity, who dress the part but don't live the part, who even act the part but don't live the part. What's that mean? The Apostle Paul will explain it in a minute. Continuing. Beware of the dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. And the reason he put it like that, guys, I'm sorry, I interrupt one more time, is because they used to call the Jews the circumcision. Those guys are the ones that circumcise themselves. They're weirdos. And the circumcised were the ones who the Lord Jesus said, circumcise the part of your heart. Don't worry about the other part. Circumcise your heart. Cut away the hard areas of your heart. Get rid of it. He says, Paul the apostle is saying to them, those that they used to call the circumcision, forget about them now. You know who the circumcision is? You're the circumcision, Christian. That's what he meant by that, guys, so you know. Who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is from the law, blameless. He says, do you want to talk about pedigree? Do you want to talk about if somebody could trust in their flesh? I'm telling you. Now, here's why. The Apostle Paul, amazing character, he lost everything for Christ. For him to become a Christian, first of all, he could no longer be a Pharisee. Now, a Pharisee was just not just a religious leader, but he was also a socialite. He was a big-time guy. If you were a Pharisee, you had the long robes, and you had this thing called the phylactery that you wore on your head, and everywhere you go, people, oh, that's a Pharisee, man. That guy's a Pharisee. That's a Pharisee. Everybody would know. And he says, you want, if you really want to talk about, you want to talk about having something to boast about? And here he gives his list of accolades, but then he continues, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. That word for rubbish literally means dung. It's crap. That I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Now, before he explains that thing that he might know, maybe nobody told you this. Maybe this is new to you, but listen to me. If you are going to church because your relationship fell apart, God set that up. If you're coming to church because things are tough at home, God set that up. If you're coming to church because your finances fell apart, God set that up. If you're coming to church for any reason that life has been tough, God set that up. But when you come to church, you're going to sense a presence of God here. And the people of God here are warm and friendly, majority of them. But if you don't have something going on in your heart, if when we're worshiping God, there isn't something moving inside, if when the word of God is being preached, you're not like, if when we're praying, you're not, yes, Lord, help him, God. Guys, there's a problem. And you might be coming to church for the wrong reason. Coming to church is the setup. It's the Bible calls it, he chose you, you didn't choose him. So he knocks on your heart, and you don't answer the door, you just go to the door. Right now, if you're in church and any of those things are not happening, you're at the door, but you haven't let him in yet. Please don't ever think that going to church is opening the door. As a matter of fact, there's a crazy story that the Lord Jesus told in the Bible that says 3/4 of the people that go to church don't make it to heaven. It's the parable of the sower in the book of Luke. 3/4, 1 out of 4 makes it to heaven, according to the parable of the sower in the book of Luke. Hear again what he says, and let's continue. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but verse 9 in the middle, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Let's screw that backwards. If you're going to attain, he says, if I'm going to attain the resurrection from death, if I am going to be raised after I die and go to heaven with Christ, I have to know, the Apostle Paul says, why he allowed his life to become nothing, why he gave up his wife, potentially his kids, why he gave up his power, his position, his authority, why he gave up his finances, why he gave up a complete life of security and safety. Why? Again, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The Bible says that the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. I want to repeat that. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. And God wants to take this power and he wants to perform through you and in you some sort of gift. Maybe it's the gift of prophecy. Maybe it's the gift of speaking in tongues. Maybe it's the gift of discernment of spirits. Maybe it's he wants to say, listen, I took the power that I had that was given to me by God, and I sealed you with it. What are you doing with it? Struggling with pornography, smoking pot every day, drinking beer. Were any of those things, like, in and of himself, disqualifiers from heaven? No. But they're disqualifiers from ministry. And they're self-defeating. You can't share the filth with cleanness, light and darkness. Understand what I'm saying? I mean, understand what the Apostle Paul is saying here?
and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death.
Okay, I don't know how many of you guys have ever read the story of the crucifixion of Christ and said, you know, really wish I could join him in that. The Apostle Paul said it. And we're supposed to follow him, you ready, as a type or picture of Christianity. To die to self, to receive this knowledge and this understanding that your whole life, Christian, is death from now on.
Oh man, I want that,
but I can't have it.
Oh man, I need that,
but it's no good for me.
Oh man, I could do that,
but I'm not gonna. The fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to him in his death. Hey, guys, let's say something. Girls, close your ears a second. As soon as you get saved, the hottest chick you ever wanted is going to be like all over you. It's that type of situation. And guess what?
Now that I got saved? Now?
And that's how you're going to live pretty much every week.
Oh, bro, we got a score coming up, man. So-and-so found a bunch of weed on the beach, man. All we got to do is, man, like 20 grand. Now?
I'm trying to do the whole Pastor Bob thing. Next time something like that comes along, you're going to hear this.
Now?
Yeah. Fellowship of his suffering.
Whew. I noticed this isn't the message you were hoping for on your first time back. But watch this now. And here's where it's good news. Verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. Ready?
Not that I've already attained, I'm already perfected. Christianity isn't a line that you cross. You don't all of a sudden go, well, now I'm saved, I'm across that line, and everything's good. He says, you never attain. It's like that song by U2. I've climbed the highest mountain, I've swam the deepest sea, only to be with you. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I want more, I want more, I want more. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more. There's never, ever enough. Paul said, not that I have already attained, not that I have achieved anything. Now, this is a guy in prison about to die for the message of the cross. I'd say, even if he died right here, he's achieved a lot. He's attained a lot. And you know what he said? Not even close. I remember looking at Pastor Bob in the pulpit as a young Christian, going, man, I wish I could be a little more like that guy because I struggle with, man. And he used to say the same thing all the time. Don't follow me, man. He said, don't follow me, follow Christ. Don't follow me, I'll let you down, man. He wasn't lying, was he?
Sorry. But watch this next verse. And this is the best verse in the Bible. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me.
I love this. I love this. Guys, you ready? One word for everybody today. You ready for it? Purpose. Here's your proof. You're not another flower in the bed of Christ's garden. Every single person in here that Christ has laid hold of, he's laid hold of you for a very specific reason. And here the Apostle Paul, wait a second. The Apostle Paul is saying, I just want to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me.
Christ grabbed me so that I could do something, and I want to grab what he's grabbed me to do.
It's like, do you understand what this does? This changes everything for you all. If you're here and you're a phone salesperson, you work for Verizon, you work for T-Mobile, you work for something like that. Do you understand Christ has laid hold of you so that you can do that better? If you fix dents in cars, Christ has laid hold of you so that you can do that better. If you're a welder, if you're a salesperson, if you're a homemaker, if you're a fighter, if you are anything, Christ Jesus has laid hold of you so that you could do that for him. What are you talking about? Do what for him? Whatever it is that you do. Why is that? Because there's people where you are that need to know Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. This is mind-blowing. This is mind-blowing. You must find that purpose, the very thing Christ has laid hold of you for. If you're here and you ain't getting this, man, then I pity you. I really do. If you don't think you have a purpose in your life, I am so sorry. Please, please, please find a church, find a preacher where you can connect with, because Christ has laid hold of you for a reason and for a purpose. And if you don't have that, then I've been doing something wrong. Don't you know God has a purpose for your life? Continuing, here's where we bring it to a close. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I wanted to finish the chapter today, but I think I've thrown way too much at you guys already. So, how does somebody who's got 25 years in the Lord, maybe I think they said 35 almost at this point in time in his life, how does he write these things? How does he still have so much zeal, so much heart, so much desire to know more? Do you ever ask that? I mean, do you put that in the file cabinet of your brain under how the heck did he do it? Was it a different day and age? Did something occur back then that's not occurring now? What is it? Is this just a rah-rah session? Come on, team, go team. Or is there something going on back then that's not going on here? The persecution of the church was watered with blood. And it seems as blood is the fertilizer that we need. We're just coming out on the other side of a government who told you, you cannot go to church. I forbid you to go to church. What's your response now? The president of the United States came out and said, church is essential. And I am encouraging the governors strongly. If people need groceries, they need church. Yeah. That's what our president said. I don't care how much he tweets after that. That was pretty impressive, man. That is the most pro-Christian president we've ever had. And let me say this to you in a way that makes zero sense at all. It's Donald Trump. Right, you mean the billionaire guy? Yeah. Wait, you mean the reality show guy? You're a fired guy? Yeah. You talk about God using the foolish things of this world. Now, why am I just using this as a closing for political purposes? I am not. I'm telling you, let me read this to you again. Not that ever it attained
or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Man, you've been told you can't, and now you're told you can. You were told to stay home, because if you stay home, it'll be safer. But now they're saying you're staying home too much. You're going to die if you stay home. And then they said, wait, you got to wear a mask, because if you don't wear a mask, no. First they said, don't wear a mask, because you're wearing it wrong. Then they said, wear a mask. That's the only way to save people. And then they said, whatever they wanted at the time. And the governors, they sat at the top and they go, I control the people. You people over here that work in restaurants, screw you. I don't care if you die. Are you kidding me? Does anybody here work in the restaurant industry? How the heck, what have you guys been doing? My heart bleeds for you. How are you making money? How are you surviving? $1,200? Wow, thank you so much, Mr. President. Man, press on toward the upward goal for the call in God, in Christ Jesus. The blood that was shed now should be ours. Don't ever let us tell them, anybody ever tell you, Christian, American, when you can and can't gather, what you should or should not wear. And if it means shedding blood, does anybody know how the Apostle Paul died? Anybody know how the Apostle John died? No, he was boiled in oil, but it's okay though. Anybody know how the Apostle Peter died? Or what do we? Do we deserve less? Should we die in a hospital bed with morphine drip, or should we die in the streets on our knees praying? Or should we die in a jail cell? What makes us so much better for us to sit and think that we shouldn't keep pressing on? Honestly, guys, how important is this thing to you? Is your heart not burning? You that haven't been to church in a while, are you like hearing like, yes, this is what I've been missing, yes! Because if it ain't, I don't know. Something ain't right in you.
When we went to the beach the first time we were worshiping, and those cops showed up, like I felt like the fear like come over us, like they were gonna like, you know, get us in trouble for gathering in the big crowd, not just being part worshiping God. The cops was like, I think we're okay. Like just like praying for the Holy Spirit, like, you know, saying we're okay, and then we ended up praying for that cop and he said stay as long as you want.
Did you guys hear what she said? So about a month ago, we went for the first time to the beach and we worshiped. And while we were there worshiping and praying, this cop walked up. And as the cop walked up, she said that this fear washed over her. This is what I was afraid of. This is exactly what I was afraid was going to happen. But we found out that the cop was on our side. He was like, hey, man, just stay as long as you want. Just let me know when you're going to leave. I got your back. And from what Dean says, Dean, you talked to the guy before, you talked to them beforehand, right? So, man, you know, there's a story in the Bible about Elijah going to God, feeling sorry for himself. God, I'm the only one. Nobody understands. I'm alone. I'm going to die. I'm so afraid. And God looks down and says to Elijah, he says, Elijah,
I've got 7,000 who have not bowed a knee to Baal. There's 7,000 more who will not be afraid, who are not afraid to suffer. Guys, I'm really trying to fire you up today. Don't ever let this happen again. Don't ever let this happen again. We cannot be told by a government, by local, national, international, we can never again be told when you can worship and how you could worship God. This is America. Amen. Make waves. Go into stores without your mask on. Tell them it's against your religion. You're laughing? CDC. Look up the CDC website. The CDC website says you must wear a mask if. And then it says you do not have to wear a mask if you are asthmatic, it is against your religion, you have any number of reasons. Debbie? Yeah. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. I'll explain to you later. All right, guys, I'm done. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for your people. We thank you so much for your spirit to be upon us. And I pray, fire your people up. God, set a fire in our soul that cannot be contained. Let us be bold. Let us lay a hold of that for which you've laid a hold of us. God, help us to beware and to not be afraid to get rid of the wild dogs in our lives. God, help us to never be acting this thing out, but to really be living it out. God, to not be afraid to be what you've made us. And not to be afraid to lose, God, as the Apostle Paul wanted the fellowship of suffering with you. God, I'm not asking for the fellowship of suffering, but God, I don't want to be afraid to lose anything. God, I take away any fear that I have about losing anything, and choosing anything over you. God, we love you and we thank you for the boldness of your word. In Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen.